What a great, great hymn. And thank you, Casey, for leading us in that. Open your Bibles to Hebrews. We will get there quickly in just a second. But we're going to finish up, believe it or not, the formal teaching on how people change. Now, that does not mean we are leaving the concepts by any means. You will probably begin to see these in different forms and fashions in different places, and hear the vocabulary still. I was pleased to hear a testimony of a conversation that was overheard about a circumstance that was going on, and one of the people in that conversation said, "Well, that's just heat in your life." And I'm like, "Yes, that's exactly what we want to hear. Start using these terms and using, more importantly, these truths in your life." And so we're going to continue tonight and just kind of wrap things up with some very practical application. I know that we have talked about, and this is how God changes us, how we are growing. And really we have talked about more the thorn side of things and the circumstances. And so what I wanted to do is I want to talk about two things tonight. One, I want to do a little bit of concentration on the right side of this chart about growing. And then I want to go into one of the things that we have to do if we are going to grow is maintain time in God's Word, regular, consistent time in God's Word. But some people don't do that because they're like, "I don't know how to do the Bible study. I read these things. I don't even know what it means to my life, how to apply that." I want to use this chart to help you and give you an aid in doing that. So we're going to go quickly tonight, and I'm going to try to write much more legibly than I did last week, okay? So we will do that. All right, so what do we do, or how do we continue to grow? One of the ways that we grow is we recognize the thorns in our life. But another way we can grow is to recognize the fruit in our life and either, if you want to call it, multiply that fruit or make it bigger and better or whatever it is. Because sometimes what we will think is, which by the way, if you didn't get two of these pieces of paper, then just raise your hand. I'm going to continue to talk, but you just keep your hand up. And if you didn't get two when you came in, okay? But what is it when there is fruit in my life? If we're not careful, a lot of times we will say, "Oh, well, look, there is fruits of righteousness in my life in this area," right? So there's patience. I'm a patient person. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to go, "Well, oh, man, I sort of got that. I don't have to worry about that anymore," right? Because I'm patient. That's not how you should handle that, because if, what does it say? Pride comes before the fall, right? And so if we're not careful, we can begin to look in the things in our life and say, "Well, look what God has done, and so I'm okay there," and we just sort of move on to other things. Well, it's an opportunity for you also to grow when you do see fruit in your life. And so that's what I want to talk about real quick tonight before we move on to Bible study. So you are walking through life, you're living life, and let's say something, you're in a circumstance, it's heat or dew, and you have been praying, "God, I want to honor you in this area, and I struggle with this, and so I really want to work on this, and so help me work on this," and you've been maybe walking through this, and all of a sudden you're put in that situation again, and you find that maybe it is a peace, hang on, you see the fruit of the gospel in your life, and somewhere where you would normally be worried and upset and anxious, you just say, "You know what, I'm just going to turn this over to God. I'm going to trust that God is sovereign, that He is good, that He is wise. I'm going to trust His promise to never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to be thankful for all these circumstances that I have, and the peace of God that passes all understanding just falls on you in that moment." And you approach life and walk through that circumstance with great peace in your life. And so what should you do there? Well, the first thing that you should do is recognize that that is God's work in your life. Do not make the mistake of thinking that if you are walking through a circumstance in your life and there is peace, that that is because of something that you have done. All right? I'm going to say this again. This chart is not the answer. This chart is a tool to get you to the answer. All right? And so it may be that you have peace, or maybe you are going through a time of financial difficulty. That's your heat. That's your circumstance. And it comes and it's Lottie Moon, or God lays another ministry on your heart or whatever. And even though you're in the midst of that, you give and you give sacrificially. And so there is sacrifice, and you see it and you recognize that. All right. And really, it's any type of obedience that you recognize in your life. That is fruit. That is the gospel working in your life. Now, we talked about not getting the big head, but here's something else that you can do. It is very dangerous. You begin to say, well, there's peace. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to work on peace. And here we go. I'm going to go into this situation, and now I have peace. And you decide, and you grit your teeth, and you clench your fist that you're going to have peace. This is where Hebrews comes in. So look at Hebrews chapter 11. You've heard me read this verse before. And verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. If we are not careful, we will look at our life, that's Hebrews 11, 6, and we will say, there is peace, or look at me, how I sacrificed, or in this instance, I was obedient. And what we are doing is not seeing the fruit of the gospel in our life. What we are seeing is that we are pasting fruit onto our own lives. And there is a difference. There is a difference. And that difference is that fruit evidence of your faith? Are you truly putting your faith in Christ, and therefore that is why you have peace? That is why you sacrificed unto the Lord? Or are we swinging back over to the law and making ourselves look good by doing the right thing, but we're doing it not out of faith, we're doing it out of our own strength? We totally bypass the cross altogether. We totally bypass the gospel. And so what it looks like is that everything is okay because we're pasting fruit on. What's going to happen if you paste fruit on a tree? It's not going to stay. It's going to rot, right? So it looks all good right now, but it's going to fade away. It's going to go away. Why? Because we aren't doing it out of faith. So what you need to do when you see acts of obedience, whatever that is in your life, and there is fruit of obedience in your life, you want to praise God, and then you want to immediately begin to examine your heart and ask, is that fruit out of my own strength, or is that fruit that came because I am trusting and relying in the gospel? And if it is not, and it's out of your own strength, sorry about that, that's not supposed to be there. Here, wait a minute. We go back to repentance and faith, right? Repentance. You repent of your self-reliance. You repent of not trusting in Christ in that moment. And then we go right back to faith. What is our faith going to be in? Again, it's going to be the promises given by God for that situation. And so what you do is you begin to train your heart and train your mind that even when I'm being obedient, I want to micromanage my heart. I want to make sure that what's taking place here is out of a heart of faith to God. And if it is, then I don't have to repent, obviously, but I certainly then want to praise God for the gospel so that then your mind is constantly realizing that it is not your strength, it is the gospel, and you are building faith in your life. And what this is what the Bible says when it says from faith to faith. So I step out in faith and obedience, and God's promises are true because they're always going to be true, and they are proven to be true. And so instead of me now saying it's my own strength, I check my heart. Yes, that was out of faith in what Christ has done. So I want to praise God for the work of the gospel in my life. What is that going to do? The next time you face that same situation, or you're in a situation that's harder, you have what I call a diamond of grace along the path of your life, so that you look back and you realize, you know what? God kept his promise when I was obedient. He was faithful to do what he said he was going to do. And you have this diamond in the middle of that hard, difficult circumstance that shines bright. And that diamond is the work of the gospel in your life, so that now you are facing that same situation and you look back and you see how the gospel worked in your life, how God kept his promise. You will now take another step of faith because God has proven himself to be faithful and true. And so for your life, you continue to grow in sacrifice or in peace or in patience or in loving kindness or whatever it is. So a victory is not the time for you to sit down and go, well, I don't have to worry about patience anymore. A victory is a time for you to get on your face before God, and instead of repentance, it's praise and adoration for the work of the gospel in your heart, and you put a stake in the ground that you can look back on and say, God is faithful. In the midst of that circumstance, I trusted him. I was thankful for all that was going on. The peace of God did follow my life. And I was able to walk through that with great peace that only came from God. And so here I am facing yet another circumstance that I've got to go through that is going to try to tempt me to be anxious and self-reliant and worrisome and scared and fearful, but I know God keeps his promises. I want the peace of God in my life. I have tasted of the peace of God. That's what I want here. I want to, by faith, do it again. I want to step out in faith and watch the peace of God do its work in my life. So then you see you growing and growing and growing in that area, to the point then you can begin to teach others and disciple others and encourage others in that area that God's word is true. Now, God's word isn't true because of my experiences, but my experiences are evidence that God's word is true. I had this conversation with somebody, I can't remember who it was, the other day, and there was this sense of, well, wait a minute, I know what it was. I don't have a child that age. And so how can I give advice to a parent when I don't have a child that is the same age as you know, that child and or that other parent? I said, because your advice doesn't come from your experience. Your advice comes from the Word of God. Now, certainly that experience may give more weight to the fact that because you've walked through it, that God's Word is true. But that's not what we're counting on. We're not hoping that everybody that gives wise counsel went through everything. I mean, does that mean I can't counsel anybody who's gone through drugs because I've never participated in drugs? No, I can. You know why? Because God's word is true, whether I experienced all of that or not. God's word is true. That's I want to point them to the gospel. And so it's not your experience that makes God's words true, but certainly your experience is used by God to build your faith because you have seen it to be true and experienced it to be true. Okay? So, it's repentance, it's faith. Then what you want to do also, and I'm not going to write all of this down, but you want to continue in your time of prayer, in your time of prayer as you praise God. Hang on, there we go. You want to go back and you want to focus and meditate on the promises of God. Who is God and what does he say and do in Christ? Which just reinforces, right, the reason and the ability and the why behind why you were obedient. So it's praise. I understand. I recognize that it's the gospel in my life that's doing this. But now you need to know, okay, what specifically is it? So you can go down if it's peace. You can go to Ephesians 4, 7. You can know that God is in control of everything. God has a plan for you, Philippians 1, 6. Christ is the example of peace in trials as he was on the cross, the example of sacrifice and love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All of that's in the gospel. Well, don't just say, generally, it's because of the gospel that I obeyed. Now, what? What are the promises that you are relying on? What are other promises that you can rely on? And so now, maybe you're, just run with the analogy, your fruit of peace starts off like this as you obeyed. We want it to continue to grow and grow. Or if you want to use the same area, different analogy, your fruit tree of peace has one fruit on it. We want it to have 100-fold fruit on it. So that peace is what flows out of your life naturally. Well, the only way that that happens is if in your mind and your heart you are meditating on the Word of God and how peace comes about in your life and not relying on yourself. We're not pasting fruit. We're allowing the gospel to work. Well, how do we do that? What about Bible study? The only way that you're going to grow is if you are studying God's Word on a regular basis. I don't know if this is going to let me erase everything, but let's see. Probably not. Okay. Give me 2 seconds. Ta-da. Okay. So, Bible study. How do I use this in my Bible study? I think most people struggle not with, hey, I want to read the Bible, or I want to study the Bible. The question is, how do I study the Bible? I read these things, and they don't make any sense to me. Or I read them and I know what they're saying, but I don't know what it means for my life, how to apply it. And so sometimes we'll read these stories and you see, man, this is a great man of faith. But what is this story? How do I take the story, mine out the truth, and put it in my life? Well, I want to show you how to do that, because as you walk through your life and you're being obedient to God, all right, coinciding with that is your study of God's Word, because that is His revelation of Himself. That is His revelation of what He desires for you. And all of these things come together, okay, in order for you to grow to be more like Christ. If you devoid yourself of God's Word, I promise you will shrivel up and die. All right? You are not going to grow. Promise. All right? So Bible study. So you're reading, all right, and you come across certain things. I want to show you where they belong on this chart and how you can use them, or at least I hope I'm going to do that with you tonight, okay? So let me just give you a little test here or whatever. We talked about indicatives and imperatives. What is an imperative? Commands, thank you. Any commands that you come across in the Bible. I can't remember, y'all help me, y'all would know this, some of y'all have done this. I think it's Kay Arthur who has some questions. And one of her questions is, when you are reading a verse or reading passage of Scripture, is there a command? Is it telling you to do something or not to do something? Maybe it wasn't her. I don't know. All right. So where do you think, all right, you would put commands on this chart in order to help you understand how that is going to help you grow? Any guess? That's probably a poor question, but okay. Wouldn't be under heat. What's heat? Heat is our circumstances. That's your life. That's the context with which the command comes to you. So you're at school and you've got 10 kids who stayed up playing video games and they all have their head on their desk and they are not listening to you. That's your heat. Now there's a command that may come into that, right? But where would the commands come in, do you think? Say that again. What are they encouragements? To do something, right? And not to do something. Okay? So when we're being obedient or we're being disobedient to commands, where do those show up on the chart? Nope. Fruit or thorns, right? Okay? They come in, we're arguing all the time. That's thorns. God says, listen, love one another. Be kind to one another. Well, she's not kind to me. I'm not kind to her. God says, obey your parents. Well, if you do, then that's showing fruit in your life, right? So the commands, When you come across a command in the Bible, and you read a command in the Bible, then you need to know that is an expectation that God has for your life. God expects you to do this. God expects you not to do this. This is a command. This isn't anything that's negotiable. This is what you're going to do. So if you do it, that is the fruit of righteousness. If you do not do it, it's the same thing over here. But it just happens to be a thorn. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you're coming into my office and you are telling me, she, then I'm telling you, you're not loving Christ, your wife as Christ loved the church. And so you are showing me the thorns in your life. So when you come across the command, God says do this, you need to ask yourself a question. Am I obeying that command? If you are, then you're on the right side of the chart. You're producing fruit. And so you go back through what I just talked about. Praise God. Now I got to ask the question, am I obeying because of my own strength, or am I obeying because I'm putting my faith in Christ, in the gospel? What are the promises that I'm putting my faith in that's producing that fruit? If you are not, then you're on the left side of the chart. And now you're at thorns. And so now what do you have to do? I have to go to bad roots, desires and beliefs. I want to know what's going on there. So that's where I'm headed, so that I can change from disobeying the commands and producing thorns in my life, going through the cross, which we've been talking about for weeks, so I'm not going to do that here, and putting my repenting and putting my faith in who God is and what He does and says in Christ, and on the cross He demonstrates all that so that fruit is produced. Okay? So commands, expectations. Ways to demonstrate the gospel in your life. That's what the fruit is. God says, do this. When you do that, you are demonstrating His character. You are demonstrating His love. You are demonstrating His peace. You are demonstrating all of who He is to the world. You are living out the gospel in your life. All right? And so, what if you come across someone like Achan? Remember the story of Achan? Achan hides all the stuff in his tent he was not supposed to take. He stole it. It was God's. It was dedicated to God. Hides it under his tent. They find it. They stone him. Well, how does that apply to me? I'm not a thief. Right? There are consequences for theft, yes, but I'm talking about you personally. If you're not a thief, huh? Okay, what am I? Yes, what does God require of me that I'm withholding? Right? If you have failures of others, he had a wrong belief. You see the disobedience of his life. What was Achan believing that was a wrong belief, or he had a wrong desire? Remember our bad roots or our desires and our beliefs? He had a wrong desire. He had a wrong desire for the things of the world, and he had a wrong belief that the things of the world would bring him greater pleasure and greater joy than not going after those things and obeying God. And so you can look at the failures of others, the failure of David, the failure of Moses, the failure of Abraham, all of those guys who we call these heroes of the faith, and they are certainly faithful men, but they all have failures too. And you can say, what did they not believe? What did they believe that was wrong? What were they trusting in that moment that I can see that's a wrong belief or a wrong desire? And you can write those wrong beliefs and desires right down here in the thorn section, or the heart of the thorn section. Alrighty, there we go. So there, you can see that there's failures of others in the Bible. Write them there. There's women in the Bible who didn't trust God. men in the Bible who didn't trust God. You'll come across verses that specifically deal with the heart. And they are verses that actually say, if this is in your heart, you're in trouble. That needs to go here because that's a wrong belief. He's trying to say your heart needs to change, your belief needs to change, your desire needs to change. So verses that actually address the heart. Verses about the flesh. Verses about the motives of Satan. Now, if you want to go through the exercise of actually writing it here, that's great. But what I'm trying to get you to think is, okay, where is that speaking to? That's speaking to a wrong desire or a wrong belief. That's what that verse is speaking to. So then how do you apply it to your life? Well, the natural question is, do I have that same wrong desire or do I have that same wrong belief? And if I do, that's a danger. Because I am not going to produce fruits of righteousness if that is what is in my heart. And so if the love of money is a root of all evil, and I read that verse, I need to go down into my heart because that is a wrong belief. It's a wrong desire that I love money more than I love Christ, more than I love the gospel. And maybe it hasn't produced itself in thorns yet, but great, you haven't acted upon that belief or acted upon that desire. That's what we're trying to prevent. And so as you're reading through, the Holy Spirit, God uses the in His sovereignty, takes you to a verse, and He's saying to you, beware, that is in your heart. You need to deal with it right now. You need to deal with that right now. On the other side, it's the same thing. If you go over here, there are verses that deal with the heart or promises that God gives. Actually, this probably would be down here on the bottom. Who is God? What does He say and do in Christ? But you're going to put your faith in His promises. So if you read a promise from God, don't just go, oh, that's nice for my neighbor. That promise is for you. So as you're reading, don't just skip over it. Don't just read it like it's like, you know, that's a cool verse. Maybe I need to memorize it. Do something with it. Apply it to your life. What does that promise mean for me right now where I am in my circumstances? God did not lead you to that verse by accident. So you take that promise. How am I today going to put my faith and trust in that promise so that fruits of righteousness will be produced in my life to the glory of God? You have just taken a Bible passage, you have applied it, and now you are now living it out. You are putting it into action. If God has standards that He has laid out there for you and you have not met that standard, you've been acting in a certain way and you come across a passage of Scripture and God says that is wrong, He has laid out a standard, you know what? Repentance. That's what you need to do in your time of study. Any promise that He has, you need to pray and put your faith and trust in that promise. So you begin to develop faith. You begin to develop a habit of repentance. God, I am sorry. Thank You for revealing that this is a wrong action, that I am not meeting the standard that You have for one who claims the gospel in my life. I'm repenting of that. All right? Come across verses about God's character. You put them down here. God is holy, God is just, God is loving, God is merciful, God is gracious. All of those things that talk about His character. The Bible is telling you, God is revealing who He is. So that when you get in a situation where you are tempted to doubt who He is, He's telling you, no, this is who I am. And so you need to know those verses, know those characteristics. So put them down, write them down, meditate on them. This is who You are, God. Thank You. Then put it into action. God, if this is who You are, then I can, or I don't have to, or when I meet with my boss today, I can know that. He gives you those promises so that you will put your faith in who he is and what he has said and done in Christ. This is where the indicatives are. Do you remember what the indicatives are? Statements of fact. God is. Christ is. You get this in Christ. In Christ you are. Promises about eternity. All of those things that are factual that the Bible spills out and says, this is the truth, period. This is who God is, period. You put those, you put those down here, that's what you put your faith in. And it's promises and truths that are yours because you are his in Christ. Different encouragements. Ms. May said that the law is encouragement for her. She will could write the law down here because that helps her. It's an encouragement to her. All right? On the stories of how God acts towards his people. This is especially in the Old Testament. And you begin to read about the children of Israel, and you read about the judges, and you read about the priests and the sacrificial system, and you read all these things that maybe you're not familiar with. Look, when you're reading a Bible passage about the children of Israel or specific people in the Old Testament, that passage is not about that person primarily. That passage is about that has been put there about that person to show you how God relates with man. And when man does this, this is what God does. And when man does this, this is who God is, and he always acts out of his character. So in those stories, you are looking for God's character. You are looking for the way that God acts towards his people. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's exactly how he's going to act towards you in your life. When you are in your heat, God is not going to change. This is how I'm going to act towards you. And so you can begin to write these things down. You can begin to study these things. Certainly on the other side, if there's failures, you can see the victories of other people and put those on the fruit side over here. You can see how what they were trusting in. I'm reading through Exodus. And God says, do not fear, stand firm, for you are about to see the salvation of God when I get my glory, because I'm fixing to destroy the Egyptians. And the people are freaking out, and Moses says, we got this. The people did not believe that God was sovereign and powerful enough to get glory and destroy the Egyptians. Moses said, yes, he can. And so by faith, he did exactly what God said to do. He lifted his staff. The Red Sea opens up. They go across on dry land. God keeps his promise. Well, how does that help me? Well, when I get into my heat, is God now all of a sudden not powerful enough for my circumstances? No, he is. He's the same God. The very same God, right, that split all the waters on the cartoon that we all like to see. And although there's walls of water, right, that is the same God that you serve. He has not changed. He has not lost any power. The same God that took care of a million Israelites, taking them out of the land of Egypt, can take care of you in your situation, in your circumstance. But if you're not meditating on that and studying on that, and if you're not allowing your heart to trust in that and know that, then when you get in the middle of your circumstance, it's too late to start like okay, flipping through the Bible. Where's a promise for me right now? You know? Oh, this is going on in my life. Do you have a verse for me, Pastor? Well, yeah, probably so, but guess what? You know, that's available to you all the time. And if you'll get your nose in it and you'll begin to read it and you'll begin to think about, what does this say about God? Is this a promise? Is this a command? How does this relate to my life? Am I doing this? Am I not doing that? And you begin to do it now, and it becomes the exercise of your life. Then it becomes natural as you're reading along. Oh, look, there's a promise. I can trust that promise today. Oh, look, there's a command. I'm not doing that. God wants me to do that. How am I going to do that? I'm going to trust that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in the indicative. And so you just go through and you continue to allow the Word of God to saturate your mind and your heart, and you see how the gospel allows you to do these things, keeps you from other things, stand on the promises because they're yours in Christ, And you will see your life begin to grow. And what you'll see is you'll be less and less on the left side, repenting of your thorns, and more on the right side, praising God for your fruit. And that's exactly what we want. We want more fruit. That means growth. All right, I thank you for your patience over the last 20-some-odd weeks as we have walked through this. I hope that it has been beneficial. I hope that it has been encouraging because God has a plan for you, and he is going to finish the work that he began in you, and this is how he does it, through everyday life, through repentance, through faith, through bringing you back to the cross, bringing you back to the cross, so that when you produce fruit, he gets the glory. Okay, let's pray. We'll receive the offering, and I have a few announcements, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you for this people who have sat under this teaching for these weeks. And I pray that as we continue to think about this, we would apply it to our lives. Thank you for your word that is powerful, that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it divides the very marrow from the bone, and that it brings about change in our life if we will allow it to, and we will surrender ourselves to it and allow the gospel to do its work in our lives. And we just pray that you would be glorified as many of us go out and live the gospel before this lost and dying world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.